Glory. Praise the Lord for two precious souls saved this past week. Doesn't get much better than that. We had a great revival. Pastor Steve Pope was with us. And like I said, if you want to hear Brother Pope, he'll be down at Thanks to Calvary tonight with Brother Jeremy Simpson and those folks. That service begins at 6 o'clock if anybody wanted to go down there and just support that revival. I sure do appreciate those that have made their way out today. I know the weather was a little bit perilous earlier in the morning, but boy, I'm so thankful that I didn't call it off. And you know why? Because I need it. Boy, I need the Lord. You too, Brother Tim. You've been missing a whole lot because of your sickness, and I understand, but I need it. And you're saying you need it. But I need more of what God's got for all of us. We're off about, I don't know, 75 people today. We got 182 of you out there. But anyway, God knows who's here and what we stand in need of. If you've got a copy of God's Word today, go with me to the book of 1 John, chapter number, I guess we'll start out in chapter number 5. 1 John chapter number 5, I'm going to wear your Bibles out today. Only reason I'm doing that is because the Lord told me to preach the Word. And the Word's what's going to get the job done. But let me thank you all for coming. I've already thanked you for the ministry to my family during the past week. It's hard to believe it's not even been a week yet. It won't be a week until Tuesday at 11:14. And I'm telling you, there's certain things that just hit you like a brick. I went back to the office on Friday and tried to do some timekeeping and payroll things and just happened to set me in front of my computer. So I'm sitting there inputting some time and some different things in my office. The door's open, but I'm just sitting there in private. And I looked down the corner of that little computer screen. And what made me look down, but when I looked down, it was 11:14. And that was the time that the Lord called my mama home. And I'm telling you what, it's those little things that's going to continue, I'm sure. Ryan and I, in the last 30 years, have never spent as much time together with Sister Annette. And there was one night, Ryan, he was in my house, didn't leave till, I guess you got home at 1:15, 1:30 in the morning. And then we got up the next day and he said, "Brother, I need to see you." And we met and we spent the whole day yesterday together. I had been wanting to see that movie, Paul, the Apostle of Christ. Anybody ever heard of it? Raise your hand if you've heard of it. Raise your hand if you want to go see it. Don't waste your money. Read the book of Acts. It's the Acts. It's the life of Paul as recorded by Luke in the book of Acts. It's a dark movie. You see a lot of the persecution of the early church by Nero and that he was burning people at the stake. And if you're into all that stuff, you go ahead. But I'm telling you, read the book of Acts. It's a very, very dark movie because of the persecution that was against the early church. They give that thing a rated PG-13, but when you see Christians turned into the lions and that kind of stuff, and toward the end of the movie, I'm not giving the movie away because if you know your Bible, you know what happens to Paul. The beheading of Paul at the end was just like a culmination of a very dark movie. I know Paul was beheaded. I don't need to see it on a big screen. But we wanted to go do something together, and we went down there and saw that just because I wanted to see it. And I'd say, just don't waste your money. The book's always better than the movie. I've always thought the books are better than the movie on anything I've ever seen that was made after a book. You got something, Chris? My daughter, how come you always blaming others? I love Brother Chris Shoemate. He's been there for my family, as many of you have been. And I was amazed at how quick Pastor Pope picked up on it. Did y'all see Brother Pope getting Chris once in a while? I said, yes. I'm not the only one. He's such an easy target. It's hard to miss. In the book of 1 John, we're going to be bringing a message. And if I were to give this thing a title today, it would simply be this. His blood does what? That's the title of the message. His blood does what? You realize in the scriptures and the totality of them, beginning in the book of Genesis, that God has required blood. I mean, you can see it whenever the original sin was manifested upon mankind, whenever Adam and Eve had sinned in the garden, and then they had taken of the tree of the good knowledge of good and evil, and I mean, their eyes were open that they were naked, and what'd they do? They did what any one of us would do. They tried their best by their means to cover themselves. And they made garments out of leaves. And then they sewed the leaves together to cover their garments. And that's when you see the Lord come into the garden. He asked Adam, where are you, Adam? And it's not that the creator of all this universe had ever lost the crown jewel of it. I mean, he made man, put man over everything. But let me tell you, God knows everything. He knows he is. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. He's everything to everybody. He's everywhere. And he did not lose Adam. He asked that question that Adam might know, Adam, where he was. He said, we've hid ourselves. Who told you were naked? You know the rest of the story. But then what happened thereafter was this. The first blood was shed because God slew the animals and took the skins thereof, Brother John, and covered the nakedness of Adam and Eve. And then long beyond that, you see the families and the earth starts to populate itself. And then you see two sons by the name of Cain and Abel. And we all know the story of that because that was the first sin beyond the original that we're recorded in the Bible. In that Cain rose up and slew his brother. And he did that in disgust against a holy God is what he was doing it. Because the sacrifice of the ground was not that of his brother Abel. What did Abel bring? Abel brought a sacrifice that was of his own flock, it was of his own lamb, and it was a blood sacrifice. But Cain brought of the tillage of the soil, and that was refused by Almighty God. So God is not going to take anything in substitute for the blood. If we're going to get to heaven, we must go by the blood. And the Bible said, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. So we know that it takes the blood. And I don't know, is Brother Kenny not here today? Miss Shirley, where'd Miss Shirley go? Is Brother Kenny, bless God, you're sitting back there and you're in the wrong place. I can invite you to sit up here on the front pew today. If you want to stay back there and keep your son-in-law in shape, that's fine with me. But man, I need you up here in the front. Amen and me. He preached just a little bit ago on the blood. And I don't know what it is. I can forget Chris's message by the time I get to the back of the church. But when Brother Kenny Anderson preached a message, brother, that thing sticks with me like meat to my bones. I don't understand what it is. You know how you eat some foods and they just stay with you? My wife can eat a little bowl of oatmeal. She won't be hungry for like a week. Hey, that stuff, oatmeal will stay with you. Brother Kenny's messages are that way to me. I mean, I just regurgitate them and eat on them and chew on them and feast on them. Like I said, Brother Chris, I can forget yours before we get out of the pulpit. No, I don't. I love you. But he just preached on the blood just a little while back. And whenever he preached on the blood, man, that thing, it's been in my heart, Brother Kenny. It's been applied to my life, so why wouldn't it be in my heart? And the Bible said that there was a Roman centurion. After all was said and done, our Savior is scourged and he's gone down the Via Dolorosa. He's gone the way of the pavement. He's took the beating. He's bore the shame. He's there now on the cross of Calvary. And Calvary only being mentioned one time in your King James Bible in the book of John. Bless God, thank God for Calvary. I don't care what you choose to call it. I call it the place of the skull, Golgotha's brow. Bless God, but I thank the Lord for Calvary. And there it is. It's all said and done. The seven sayings of the cross are now behind him. He said, I thirst. He said, it's finished. He said, Father, in thy hands I commend my spirit. He had said, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. All those seven sayings from the cross culminated in one other event that took place. When they come by, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, they break the legs of those two thieves. Oh, but they didn't come to my Savior. The 22nd Psalm tells us that not a bone was broken in his body, but they were all out of joint. I mean, I can imagine the weight of a man's body pulling all of his joints apart. And that's where he was at. He was asphyxiated. I mean, he suffered and he bled like no man had ever bled. And even whenever they came to him and wouldn't have broken his legs, but bless God, that no man would take his life from him. Brother, they come to my Savior and he had already yielded up the ghost. So what did that centurion do? What did that big, strong, brawny man do to prove the innocence of this man? I tell you what he did. But for the cleansing of a nation and the healing of a nation and the washing of my soul, he took a great Roman spear and he placed that thing between the ribs of my dear Savior and thrust upward. And when he did that, the Bible said, forthwith came forth blood and water. You say, what was he doing? He'd making sure he was dead. But that the scriptures be fulfilled, that there wasn't a bone broken, that's what he did. He pierced him. That the scriptures might be also fulfilled, that they looked upon him whom they pierced. Cursed is every man which hangeth on a tree. I'm telling you what, the cross was not pretty. I know some of you are adorned with probably the finery of a jewelry piece today that maybe has a cross in it. And I've got this little bag of crosses. I don't know, somebody stole my crosses. I had a bag of crosses. I was giving everybody. Everybody wants a cross. Get you one before you leave. But I give out these little crosses. That cross was not pretty, my friends. It was as gruesome. I told you that movie that we watched was a very dark movie. Miss Jenny, we couldn't watch Calvary. I don't know if we could watch Calvary in this present. I couldn't in this present body. I don't know if I could watch Calvary. That would have been the innocent dying for the guilty. That's just more than this old person could take. But we're going to stand to give reverence to the reading of God's word. And if you're able and will and want to, we'll be in the book of 1 John chapter number 5. As we open this up today, I want you to think about that. His blood does what? And I'm going to give you a few things that the blood of Christ will do if only we'll let it. Boy, it sure is good to see y'all all come in. I got preachers everywhere. And Brother Seth Sisloff, it's good to have you come in, my friend. And I guess that Cherry Grove, being up where y'all are located, probably just didn't have service today. Right. We'll begin the reading in verse number 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begot loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Now listen expressly for the next few verses. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the scripture that beareth witness, because the spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Now, this is not the message. It's a little caveat emptor right here toward the back end of this. Folks, that puts away this thought that you can't know. There's a doctrine being preached around that you really won't know, and you can't know till you get there. My friends, if I only had a hope so salvation, I'd go back and I'd read this scripture again. The Bible said that we may know that we have life, that we may know that we have eternal life. Bless God, you can know that. I mean, there's certain, he said, well, what was that? He said, these things that have been written. What were those? That the commandments are not grievous unto you. But listen, when you go to Walmart, dear honey, if you're saved by God's grace, it's not hard for you to refrain from picking up some kind of a zucchini or something and shoving that thing down your pants pocket. It doesn't even cross your mind that you're going to steal something. Why? Because greater is he that's in me, and he had taken away the desires to sin. I'm not saying that we don't sin. Bless God, because we do sin. And if any man says that he doesn't sin, then he's a liar. But if we do sin, we have an advocate with the Father. But when I see a beautiful woman that's beautiful to look upon, Miss Cindy, I think you're the most beautiful woman in this world, and I love you with all my heart, and I have stayed true unto you, and thee only have I been true. But there are other pretty women and other pretty people. There are prettier men in the world than me. I know that's hard for some of y'all to believe. They're probably more strapping men, probably in better shape men. But let me tell you something. There's one thing to look upon somebody, and there's another thing to go ahead and commit sin. But let me tell you, I'm telling you, my friends, God has got this thing under his control. And whenever he moves in, he does some things for us, Brother Seth. It's not hard for me to keep myself from adultery. It's not hard for me to refrain from stealing. It's not hard for me to remain from killing. Right? We got guns galore between us. Everybody here, there's probably as many guns in here today as Bibles. And if you knew that, you'd probably be scared.
But it's not hard to refrain from killing people. Why? Because of the Lord that's in our heart. He taken away desires to sin openly and willingly and willfully against him. He just took that away. And he says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. What things? These things have I written. What things? He wrote it up there aforetime. He said that the commandments are not grievous unto you, that God loves you. The three that bear witness, the word, the water, and the blood, they all bear witness. They agree, and it's all right before us. We still have it in our hands. Brother Seth, bless us before I preach a whole message with y'all standing. Amen. As you're being seated, I want you to get that title right off the bat. His blood does what? And that, now the rest of the whole mess, I won't go back to that question over and over and over. But those of you that pin it down, write it down on top of your page or whatever. His blood does what? And then I'm going to answer my own question. And as I answer the own question, there's many places I'm going to have to go. So if you got a King James Bible, turn with me to the book of 1 Peter, and we will first go there. Because if I don't get this first one out of the way, Miss Becky and Ruby and the rest of you, the rest of it won't mean anything to you if you don't get the first part. Because if you ain't saved by God's grace, you're not going to be able to partake in the other things that I'm going to tell you what the blood will do. But in the book of 1 Peter, in chapter number 1, and we'll go there right now, in 1 Peter chapter number 1, and we'll pick up the reading in verse number 13. The Bible says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of person judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Listen at this. Now I want you to hear this, because this is the first answer to the blood does what? It says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold from the tradition, from your vain conversation received by tradition of your fathers. But I want you to hear this, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. If I were to ask you again, the blood does what? Bless God, the first thing that I would say is the blood is what redeems us from the curse of the law. And bless God, it says it right there. It says you were not redeemed with the corruptible things such as silver and gold. We were not redeemed by anything. We were not redeemed by higher education. We were not redeemed by filthy money. We were not redeemed by anything that is tangible in this life. We were redeemed, bless God, by the preciousness of the blood of Jesus Christ. And if you don't get that part right, bless God, the rest of it's not really going to make sense to you. We have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Even as Hosea, whenever he would take a wife of harlots, to take a wife of whoredoms, to take a wife of the lower class, to take a wife that would not be faithful, bless God, we see what the picture of Hosea did. Hosea was told to go get yourself a bride, and she's not going to be faithful to you. She's going to cheat on you. She's going to follow strange and other loves, but bless God, she's going to be your bride. Does that not sound just a little bit like the word Hosea meaning salvation? Does that not sound just a little bit like Jesus Christ, whenever God the Father said, son, we're going to get you a bride. Oh, she's not going to be faithful to you. She's not going to love you like she should. She'll follow other loves. She'll follow the strange desires of this life, and the carnality of the flesh will creep up from time to time. But bless God, even as Hosea, whenever Gomer did exactly what God said she would do, there she is on the auction block of sin. I mean, the devil's a bidding for one more good time. The devil's saying, I'll give you one more extramarital affair. The devil's saying, I'll give you one more fix, one more frying time, one more drug fit, one more this or that unto us today. You know what Hosea was saying? He said, I'll have her. I'll buy her back. I will redeem her, and I will do it. But God, and let me tell you this. She was good for nothing, Brother Kippy. A common slave. Even our Savior was sold out for 30 pieces of silver. A common slave, Brother Greg, was worth 30 pieces of silver. We find Hosea buying her back, buying back Gomer, for a homer and a half of barley. What else? How many? 15 pieces of silver. She was in the discount bargain bin of life. Whenever nobody else sees worth in us, bless God, Brother John, aren't you glad that he sees the worth and he sees it in his totality and in his fullness? And he said, I want to redeem John Shumate and I'll do it by the precious blood of the Lamb. That's how he redeems us. I looked up the word redeem because I wanted to see what it said in Noah Webster. I want to see what other people said about him. To redeem means this, to buy back. It means to free from blame. You said, how would that be used? Well, if a man had been accused of something, he may be able to redeem himself by providing proper evidence of his innocence. Is that a good way to say he redeemed himself? To buy back is to purchase, to redeem, to buy back unto oneself. And it also means to remove from captivity and to completely fulfill. You said, I don't understand some of those. Let me tell you this. If you bought a treasury bond, and that treasury bond was a 25-year bond, Brother Kip, guess what's going to happen about 25 years later? You get to redeem your bond. And when you go to redeem that bond, you know what you get to redeem in that? Bless God, you get the full Monty. You get the full kit and caboodle. It's total. It's fulfilled. And bless God, you get all the interest and everything. You might have bought it for $20, but now you're going to cash it in for $100. It means paid in full. And bless God, that's what he did when he redeemed us. He fulfilled every one of the things that he said he would do in his word. Aren't you glad you've been redeemed? Several places that I want to go in here, but I will not go to all of them, but I do want to hit just a few of them. The Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians, I want you to hear this. The Bible says, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God. You are not your own. Did you hear me? You are not your own. Sometimes we get to thinking we're ourselves. I'm my own man. I'll do what I want to do. I'll go where I want to go. And bless God, when you do that, you know what you're fixing to do? You're fixing to get in trouble. You're fixing to get away from where you hope to be. And I've done that in my own life. I've told y'all the story. Miss Cindy saying, turn around, Mark. And I'm saying, no, I'm going to go where I want to go. And she says, turn around, Mark. We're going to get lost. I say, no, we're going to keep going. It's got to come out somewhere. So I keep going. And you know what generally has to happen? Somewhere down the line, she proves herself out and I have to turn around. In the religiosity, in that theological concept, what is turning around? That, my friend, is called repentance. And somewhere down the line, you're going to have to repent because, Tim, you are not your own. Right. The Bible says you are not your own. For those writing it down, it's found in the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter number 6, and it's verses number 19 and 20. It says, you are not your own, for you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Well, then you say, well, how come I'm not my own? Because you were bought, you were redeemed with the precious blood of the Lamb. You were redeemed. So the blood does what? It redeems you from the curse of the law. That law, Miss Wanda, hung heavy against us. Oh, I can keep the law, preacher. You get with me after the service. I want to prove you to be a liar real quick. Could you keep it? Seth, as good a man as you are, I love you, brother. I've always thought you and I like your deep voice too, brother. I like that. You get up here and start singing, man. I love that. But you can't keep it, the law. Bless his heart. He said, I've already gone too far today. Brother, it's still early. You got up early to sin, didn't you? Isn't that something and strange how that happens, Miss Lynn? The Apostle Paul, as great a man as he was, if you read the 7th chapter of the book of Romans, don't you find him in a grand struggle? Do you not see that that law was heavy against Paul? He said, that I would do, I don't. That I shouldn't do, I do. He said, who can deliver me from this? He said, who can help me beyond this? Brother John, we must be redeemed. We have to be redeemed. And bless God, I'm thankful that it was by the blood. Not of blood nor of goats nor bullocks. By the precious blood of the Lamb of God. What else does that blood do, preacher? Well, we're going to keep going right through here. Turn with me, if you're following right along with me, to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number, let's just start off in verse chapter number 1, because it ties right into my first point that we found earlier about redemption. Ava, when you got saved just a little while back, honey, you were redeemed. You were purchased, and you were bought with a price. Keila, you're one of our new converts too. Right over there just a few months ago, you were purchased. You were bought. You're no longer yourself. You're no longer your own. Our desires have changed. Everything changes when you get saved by God's grace. Brother Scott, I remember back in
October the 22nd of 1981, when you got saved by God's grace, Brother Scott said he had hair down on his back. He was looking like some kind of a scallywag. And, now it's off his back and it's on his face. And I don't know what's up with that. We sent him up to Yadkin Valley, a clean cut man. He comes back and looking like maybe he's going to play. I don't know what part you're playing in the Easter drama. But anyway, nobody told Brother Scott to go out and clean himself up. Where's Miss Mama? Marlene, did you tell that youngin? Youngin, you just got saved by God's grace tonight. Right there in the altar of Cricket Baptist Church. Now get in here, I'm going to shave your head. No, you didn't do that. The Holy Spirit started speaking to Scott. The Holy Spirit started working on him. He started pulling out earrings and nose rings and got his hair cut. And next thing you know, he's a fitting subject for heaven. Not because he took out that or got his hair cut, but he's a fitting subject for heaven, Brother Ryan, because of the blood that redeemed him from the curse of the law. That's what he did. He got redeemed. In the book of Ephesians, chapter number 1, here's what it said. Blessed, in verse number 3, blessed be God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with the spiritual blessings in heavenly places, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption. Where? Through the blood, the forgiveness of sins, and to the riches of his grace. So there you have it again. That follows where I said the blood does what? Bless God, it is a redemption purpose for our lives. But we're right there in that same chapter, right there in the book of Ephesians, and I will take your attention over to Ephesians chapter number 4. This is going to be the second of the topics or whatever, if you want to jot them down, and some of you do, that's fine with me. Ephesians chapter number 4 tells us this. Let's pick up the reading in verse number 23. The Bible says to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put on, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, put away lying, speak every man the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him that labor worketh with his hands the thing which is good, how that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister unto grace unto the hearers. You say, what'd you read all that for? Because it's going to lead into the very next thing that I'm about to preach on, the next subject of what the blood does, and then we go right into it, and it's in that next verse. The Bible said, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and clamor and evil and anger and clamor and evil and speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one toward another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now I brought you to there, but we got to go one other place, and that's going to be in the book of 2 Corinthians. So turn with me really quickly to 2 Corinthians. I told you I was going to wear your Bibles out, but Master, what did the Bible tell me as a preacher to do? Preach what? The Word. So we're going to use the Word today. In the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter number 1, 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, I want to read just a couple verses of scripture here. The Bible says in that, we'll pick up the reading in verse number 18, I believe we will. And the Bible says, but as God is true, our word towards you was not yea and nay, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me in Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God in him are yea and in him, amen. And the glory of God by us. Now he which stableth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and hath given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. That's the second thing that I want to do. Not only does the Spirit of God through the blood, not only does it redeem us from the curse of the law and from ourselves, Brother Tim, but bless God, that will seal us unto the day of redemption. I bless our statement of faith at Calvary Baptist Church, namely is this, that man is a sinner, he must be born again, and once he receives the gift of the Holy Spirit and is born by the blood and the Spirit of God, brother,
saith, that man is then sealed thereby unto the day of redemption. Now, I don't know about you guys, but my mama was a canner. And right, I got to laughing about that. I was laughing about it in my sleep while God was doing a little preaching me. And you ever preach in your sleep and you just can't sleep because you're preaching? Well, last night I got to thinking about that, Brother Tim. Mama got a little back room back there, and my brothers called her a hoarder because I said, do we need to, Dot and Gene and a bunch of them come over bringing stuff? And Chris was by there, several people come by the house, and we was crying and crying and crying. Man, there was boxes of Kleenex, and man, them things was coming out of there just about like that. Hey, I got five brothers, there's five boys in my family, four brothers, and we've all got wives, and we've all got kids and grandkids and great-grandkids, and Chris, them Kleenexes were going out of there, and there went an empty box. I said, we need some more Kleenexes. And I asked my sister-in-law, Susan, I said, do we need some more Kleenex? Do I need to put a phone call out? Does one of us need to go to the store? And she said, Lord, no, don't go to the store. She said, Mom's got about 500 cases of them back here. She was a hoarder. She got a back room full of stuff. Ryan, they went back there and said, have y'all been in that room? And I said, I haven't been in that room. Ryan said, I was in there. He said, there's food back there that Mom canned back in 2008, 9, 14, I don't know. Mom was a canner. She got to can her green beans, and she'd can corn and tomatoes and soup and possum and anything Tyler would bring in. I got a nephew that he, I'm telling you, I'm not lying, Emma. But you know what, Ryan? Those things are still sealed. You could go back there right now on a jar of Mama's jelly or preserves and break the seal on that, put you a piece of toast in there, and you know what? That's as good as it was the day that Mama sealed it. Why? Because it had been sealed. And bless God, Brother Tim, upon the authority of God's word, when he redeems you, my friend, by the blood, he also seals you by that same blood. And in the olden days, bless God, they'd take that tin, and they'd take that little tin on the top. They would even take some of the blood of the pork loin. Mama used to make sausage, and I know some of you canned meat and canned sausage. Take a little bit of that blood and wet that seal around there, and they put that thing on there and tighten that thing down. And you put that thing in the pressure cooker or in the big wash pot, what we had, and bring that thing up to boiling, and then set that thing out. You know what, brother? That thing was sealed. It was sealed. And I'm glad, bless God, I've been sealed by the blood. That's another thing the blood does, Brother John. It'll seal you. There's a lot of people telling that you can't be saved eternally. You just better be careful. You'll fall from grace. You'll fall from this. You'll stumble and fall. My friends, if my God's big enough to save me, I promise you, according to the word of God, he's big enough to seal me and to keep me against that day. Am I right or wrong, preachers? Amen, Preacher Kenny? Amen. I don't even know where I was going now. I'm so messed up. What was that back yonder? Book of 1 Corinthians now. We were in 2 Corinthians. Now I've already been there. I'm sorry. Let's just go to page 3. Go over to the book of Romans just a minute. Y'all all right? We got here late. Can I preach just a few minutes longer? I know it's 12 o'clock, but I'm not going to tell you how many more points. You might get up and leave on me. It'll be short, I promise you. In the book of Romans, what was our title of our message? Brother Chris, what's the title of our message? The blood does what? Look what else the blood does. In the book of Romans, chapter number 5. The Bible says, let's pick up the reading in verse number 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, but peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Listen at verse number 9. Let me give you the definition before I read verse number 9. The definition, according to Noah Webster, of something
that is justified or something to justify is to do this, to prove something as being right, to prove something as being legal. That's a legal term. It's just. It's also to mean as a surety or a guarantee of ownership relating to a previous sealing. Now, wait just a minute. You say, what's that all about? Let me give you this. Is Amanda Hamby here? Amanda Hamby had to notarize something for me just the other day. She's a notary public, and Mara, as you well know, is entering, she's already in the middle of her grad school, getting her master's degree. And she goes down to Florida during the summer, and she squats in on the back of a lease. And as her being the lessor, a student graduates in May or June, whenever they graduate. Mara, being a master student, comes in and just picks up that lease and goes to the month of June, July, and August. Because why? Jenny, them other freshmen are not coming in until August. So what she does is she picks up the back end of a lease. So with Mara being a school teacher and broke because she's got married to a son-in-law of mine that's getting his master's degree through Wake Forest, and he broke, they ain't got no money. Guess what daddy's got? Daddy has an ink pen. I'm going somewhere with this. I'm not being boastful or bragging on my kids. I want to show you something. She sent us a paper and said, Daddy, I need you. That right there. My friends, that right there, preach. Bless God, Brother Seth, it'd be real good if we just get up here somewhere and say, Daddy, I need you. And whenever we do that, what it was is Daddy has to be the guarantor on that. I have to be the signature. I have to be the guarantee. Or guess what I have to be? I have to justify unto the state of Florida and Florida State University that comes time for them to give my daughter a room and for them to get proper payment, Brother Tim. They're going to run my credit report and they're going to make sure. Because if Mara and Preston don't pay, you know what? Daddy's going to pay. I don't make every one of us shout, bless God. Brother John, if you don't pay, guess what? You got a Savior that will. Bless God, whenever Philemon sees Onesimus coming back, and bless God, he got in his hand a little letter, and Onesimus says, oh, Mr. Philemon, honey, I'm sorry I run off on you, but before you kill me, and before you beat me, and before you throw me to the wolves, and throw me to the lion, and kill me, and behead me, and impale me, whatever you're going to do to me, Mr. Philemon, Paul said, give you this. Philemon takes his glasses and he puts them things on the end of his nose and he says, and if he owes you anything, what's that say? I believe that said, put that on mine account. And whenever I come back, I'll repay you. You say, what's that all about? It's about being justified. Read the next verse now. It's the ninth verse if you follow along with me. And it said this, much more than. Do you like that? You know what that means in Hebrew? You know what that means in Greek? You know what that means in French or Latin or any other term? That means more than. That means a whole bunch. It says, much more than. Being now, what? Read them next four words with me. What? Justified by my works, justified by my deeds and my actions, justified by my effervescent personality and clarity of thought and mind, justified by my higher learning, justified because I was schooled under Gamaliel, justified by this or that. No, it said he was justified by his blood, by his blood. That's what the blood will do. It will justify you. Now go back and read the answers again, the definitions again, what the blood, what justify is. The blood, he said he was justified by his blood. It will prove something to be right, to be legal, or to be just. It will serve as a surety or a guarantee of ownership regarding a previous sealing. You say, what's that all about? Bless God. If you don't know the way it was, the king had a seal. The king had a signet. The king wore the signet ring on his finger. And whenever the king wanted to put his stamp of approval on that, what did he do, Brother Chris? He wrote the letter. And brother, he would take that signet ring and he would dip that. And then he would take your letter and he would do this. And the next thing you know what that, when it had the signet seal of the king, it was as good as done. Sealed. See, we're looking at it as a seal on a can of beans.
I'm looking as a seal on an envelope. Signed, sealed, and delivered. Stamped by the King. I fell apart. The Bible said, what does the blood do? It does what? It justifies us. Now, many of you won't like my next one, but I didn't write the book. I'm just going to preach the book. Turn with me over to the book of Hebrews, and like I told you, I won't be long. We'll get out here in just a short few minutes. This next one is Mark's struggle. This next one is my struggle. It might not be your struggle, preacher. Miss Sam, I love you with all my heart, and you might not struggle with this, but your pastor has a problem with this next one. As we're in the book of Hebrews, and we ask that question, Brother Scott, the blood does what? It redeems us. It does. Brother John, it defines ownership and it seals us. It does the things that I'm preaching about, but in this 13th chapter of the book of, I'm sorry, the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Oh, it is the 13th chapter of the book of Hebrews. We'll get over to the 10th here in just a minute as we get ready to close. Chapter number 13, the book of Hebrews, picking up the reading of verse number 7. Remember them which have the rule over you and have spoken unto you of the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Be not carried away with diverse and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Look at verse number 12. This is the part that I struggle with. But when I ask, what? The blood does what? Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with what? With what? With his own blood, suffered without the gate. Now, to be sanctified is namely this, according to Noah Webster, to be set apart, to be consecrated, to be purged from. So if I had to say that, and I've already admitted to myself, unto myself, unto you, and before God, that I struggle with this one. I have a hard time being set apart. Sometimes I have to admit, Brother Ben, that the world, I look just like them, I talk just like them, I joke just like them, and bless God, if I'm not very careful, I'll do just like them, and I have trouble being set apart. But the Bible said to come out from among them, to touch not the unclean thing, and to be ye separate, saith the Lord. What will it do? It will sanctify us. The blood will sanctify us. The blood will set us apart. And bless God, I look up sometime to those that are set apart for the cause of Christ. Brother, I love the Amish people. I don't know. They're a little bit different, some of their belief. But bless God, you don't have to wonder who they are. When you see them, you know who they are. They might have a name, and they might have a way about them. But bless God, they look different. And they talk different. They work different. And all the things that they do, bless God. Why, Brother John? Because they take that literal. To be sanctified is to be set apart. And we are sanctified by his blood.
Amen.
That's what the book says.
Amen.
That's a verbatim quote. I didn't have to weave that to make it fit. The Bible says, wherefore, seeing Jesus, that he might sanctify the people with his blood, with his own blood, suffered without the camp. I'm thankful that he can sanctify us and set us apart. And lastly, as if being sealed and saved and redeemed, justified and sanctified, if that weren't enough, go with me to the little book of Colossians just a second. Little book of Colossians. You'll find that tucked neatly in there between where we're at and Philippians. I hear pages turning, book of Colossians. Found your place to say amen.
Amen.
All right, we're going there. The Bible said in chapter number 1, verse number 19, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, And having made peace through what? Through what? Through the blood of his cross. By him to reconcile all things unto himself. That's the redeeming portion again, the reconciliation. I say there, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Go back and read the first part of that. It said, and having made peace through his blood. Folks, I need the peace of God that passes all understanding. I see enough turmoil. I have enough worldly things that hurt me. And Brother Chris, they bear on me. And I have enough, because Paul said he'd been beaten and shipwrecked and perils of robbers and thieves and all these things. He said, besides that, the cares of the churches were upon him. When you hurt him, I hurt. When we all hurt, because when one part of, there's no way I could rightly hit my left thumb with a big old 20-pound sledgehammer and not cause my whole body to revolt in pain. That, therefore, when you hurt, we all hurt, because we're all part of the same body. But it said that we can have peace. Is that not what it said? Is that what it says, preacher? It said, in having made peace, what? Through his blood. That's what the blood will do. It'll bring peace to your troubled soul. When you don't know peace, he is peace. The Bible even says that whenever they were trying to tell what happened back there, they said, you've killed the Prince of Peace. You killed him. Go with me back over to the book of Hebrews. We're going to close this thing down here in just a minute. There's nobody in here that doesn't need peace. Keel, did you know peace before you got saved by God's grace? Honey, you didn't. You didn't know peace. Chad, did we really? Did any of us know peace? I'm telling you what. The Bible says enmity. There's an enmity, a struggle, a warfare. Yep. What is it between? It's between the inward man and the outer man. That outer man likes to do a lot of crazy stuff. That inward man, that was trying to be holy and just and do the things according to God. But that outer man, Brother Scott, man, this stuff, his flesh wasn't saved. It's corrupt. And that corrupt must put on incorruptible. How are we going to do that? Only by the blood. That's the only way we're going to heaven. I laid my little mama in a grave up there, not even a week. It'll be a week this coming Tuesday or Thursday whenever we buried her. That old body. I'm telling you what, my mama, I've never seen that woman look any more beautiful. But mama's wishes were that she not be open. I'm telling you, Ryan, didn't they do them? Mama was beautiful. And every little thing I see now takes me back to that grave and takes me back to that moment. And I told Cindy last night, man, we picked out a beautiful pecan casket. I said, that thing was gorgeous and had my mama's beautiful little body in there. I took one of them little crosses and mama's little hands were folded like this, and Ryan put one on mama's pillow and I took one of them and I put it in mama's hand. I said, mama, you just cling to the old rugged cross. But the thing is mama's not there. But I told Ryan yesterday, we spent the whole day together. I said, I'm glad we got a good vault, because it's going to protect that good casket. It's going to protect that good little earthly tabernacle. Ryan says, Brother Mark, do you think if we went over there, somebody went over 100 years from now and dug that thing up, it'd still be? I said, it's going to look just like we put it in the ground, but that thing's sealed. Brother Ryan, 100 years from now, it ain't going to matter to me or you. We're going to be with her. We're going to be with her. 100 years from now, I'll be 150. I mean, you're a little younger than me, but I don't know if you're in that good of shape, brother. I've seen you. Go with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 10. Now, I told you the first to bring you to the last. I told you that unless you were redeemed, I've told you that. Listen to me just a minute. I told you that if you weren't redeemed, then the other didn't matter. Was that what I told you when I opened up? If you're not redeemed, you won't have peace. If you're not redeemed, you won't be able to be sanctified or set apart. If you're not redeemed, you won't be justified, because we're only justified by the blood. I brought you that full circle to get you to this one. And this one is the most important from the first one. You'll see it in just a minute. Look in the book of 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews. The Bible says in the 10th chapter book of Hebrews, and we will pick up the reading in verse number 29. Let's just get 20. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under the foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified. There it is again, sanctified by the blood, an unholy thing and hath done despite the spirit of grace. I'm getting down to where we're going to be here. I started in the wrong place. Well, that sounded good, didn't it? I need to go back over. Stay in Hebrews chapter 10. Ain't that funny how I started reading right there and found the word blood in there? Man, it's a bloody book, ain't it? I want to start. I took you to the wrong verse. We're going to go to chapter 10, verse number 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by what? By what? By the blood. Lastly, and namely, is this. The blood does what? As we get ready close today, Miss Macy, come on. Brother Scott, come down.